Let's do that. Buenos dias to you. I'm live today at Pancho's Mexican Restaurant. I hope you're doing well today. Buenos dias, my good friend. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on. Good day.
Gary, let's talk about it for a second. It's hard to believe we're going to play a game Friday night and that environment down there, which is a great one down in Atlanta. Your thoughts on this NC State team as they get ready to take on Tennessee?
Well, this is a team with a lot of experience, a team with very high goals. This is a team that thinks it's got a chance to win the ACC title. And it's a very talented team on offense. There's some holes at linebacker, but it's got a deep and pretty talented defensive line, a great secondary. And so this is a team that Tom O'Brien's been trying to put together since he's been at NC State, and it's taken him now in his sixth year to do it. But this is a team that I think can do some damage in the ACC, and we'll have a pretty good idea, I think, by Saturday what kind of team this could be this year.
Obviously, for both these teams, this is a non-conference game, but you know, sometimes you see in college football that games can be doorway games. This game could lead to bigger and better things for one of these teams. Do you buy that, or do you look at this game as just an opener in a non-conference game that if NC State, let's say they are defeated, may not have a bearing, or if NC State wins, could it be a springboard to bigger and better things?
Well, it's an opening game, and you always want to get off to a good start, whether you think you can contend for a conference championship or not. And this is obviously a quality opponent, an SEC opponent. It looks to be, to me, a pretty even matchup. And so I think this is a chance for both of these teams to make an opening statement. That's what you want to do. I mean, they've been working toward this since off-season weight training. I mean, they knew this game was on the schedule, both of these teams. Tennessee's trying to get it turned around, and NC State is trying to get to that next level. So I think it's a great matchup.
From your standpoint, Gary, what happened last year for that NC State team when things started to click down the stretch?
Well, they get guys healthy. I mean, State went to Cincinnati, I think, in mid-September and didn't have hardly enough defensive linemen to field a team at that point. I mean, there were just so many injuries on defense. They had to put the fullback at defensive tackle. There was a walk-on that played both offensive line and defensive line in that game, and State just was crushed by Cincinnati at Nipper Stadium. But then the guys started to come back. They started to get healthier on defense, and things started to happen, and that's exactly what Tom O'Brien said. I mean, he's a former Marine officer. He doesn't panic. You know, he's not constantly drinking five-hour energy and banging off the walls. I mean, he's a real centered guy, a real focused guy. And, you know, he deals in reality, and the reality was when NC State got its best players back on defense, it was going to be pretty good. And that's pretty much what happened.
As we're just today with Gary Hahn today on the program, talk about Tennessee's upcoming opponent, NC State, Friday night. Of course, down in Atlanta, it's going to be unbelievable. Gary, speaking of unbelievable, that game you called late last year where State's down big time, Maryland game, they turn around and come storming back. In your years of doing what you do, have you ever seen anything as crazy as that ball game?
Well, that was pretty crazy, but actually during the off week I saw something just as crazy. State had an off week. My mom lives up near the University of Maryland, and she's got a friend that has really good tickets to Maryland football games, and I went and watched the Maryland-Clemson game, and Maryland did the same thing against Clemson. They jumped up on them big, and then they didn't have enough on defense to be able to hold them off. They ended up kicking off to Sammy Watkins, which is a bad idea any time, and he took it the distance in the second half, and that really got things energized. I think the final score was something like, 54-46 or something like that. And it looked like Maryland was a surefire winner in that game at halftime and early into the third quarter. And while I was watching Maryland play NC State and they got up by three touchdowns, I started thinking back to that game. And I thought, well, this is the same Maryland defense, and State's got enough offensive weapons. If they just don't turn the ball over anymore and stop making mistakes, maybe they got a chance to win this thing. And that's exactly what happened. It was pretty amazing. So I saw two of the biggest comebacks last season in college football, one just sitting in the stands, which I rarely get a chance to do, and then one in the booth actually calling the game. So it was pretty incredible.
Which is more enjoyable to you, when you're in the stands and you get a break like that and you get to watch these teams go at it, or when you're in the booth and you're witnessing something like that?
Well, I think it's a lot more fun in the booth because you really feel like you're part of it. You're concentrating on every play. When I was in the stands, and that's the first game I've had a chance to just sit and watch a college football game in a long, long time, maybe like 10 years. And what I end up doing, I listen to the people around me because you got some of the biggest kooks that you'd ever want to, you'd ever want to come in contact with. I mean, they're saying all sorts of off-the-wall things. And, you know, you have a pretty good understanding of football, and these guys want to do, I mean, they're just nuts. And so I just get a kind of I have a really fun time just sitting there and kind of people watching. I'm watching the game, I'm paying attention. But some of the stuff that's said and some of the stuff that they want these coaches to do is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, like it's almost as if it's a video game type of fact. It's like, let's change quarterbacks. Well, we're down to our second quarterback. Let's put our third quarterback in. Let's blitz on every play. You're sitting there, Gary's sitting there going, your defense is getting torched. You can't blitz anymore. It's already bad enough, but... I love fan reaction. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, some of the things you hear is just off the wall. But I'll tell you, you mentioned blitz, and I think both of these teams are going to try and do quite a bit of that in this football game. State's got a moniker last year of being able to put pressure on quarterbacks with extra blitz packages. John Tenuta is a guy who was an assistant coach. He's the assistant head coach. Linebacker coach, and he likes to bring pressure. And then you've got a new defensive coordinator at Tennessee from Alabama, Sal Sunseri. He's put in a new scheme, which is designed to put more pressure on the quarterback and blitz a little bit more and give Tennessee more negative yard plays and some big plays and some turnovers. And, of course, NC State had 39 takeaways last year and led the nation in interceptions. And I don't know whether the Wolfpack is capable of doing that again, especially with the holes at linebacker, but this is still going to be a pretty good defense. It'll be interesting to see who can generate the most turnovers with defensive pressure in this game on Friday.
And Gary Hahn joined us today. That's a good point you bring up. You know, we were talking yesterday on the program to Joe Giglio from over in your parts, and we were talking about that pressure, and a lot of those guys that were the pressure makers last year are now gone from NC State, and they've got a find some playmakers on defense you were talking about earlier. Do you feel satisfied? Do the coaches feel satisfied they were able to find those guys in camp?
Well, the ones he's talking about are the linebackers. State is missing all three linebackers from last year. Two are in the pros and one is ineligible. So guys that have hardly played at all are now being counted on to play. But you got the same secondary and you got most of the guys in the line. In fact, I think the line is better and more talented than it was last year. It's certainly deeper, so they could rotate. You know, you can take a whole four out and put another four in, and you're not going to drop off very much, in my opinion. But, you know, who's going to step up at linebacker? Are they going to be able to stop the run? Is the defensive line going to be able to hold them up long enough for the linebackers to come in and make plays? And will they miss tackles or will they make tackles? But behind that is one of the best secondaries, I think, in the Atlantic Coast Conference and maybe in college football. So you've got a pretty good, pretty deep defensive line. You got a real good secondary. And then in the middle, you got that gap, and that's where the big question mark is.
How big of a loss for this game is the fact that senior cornerback C.J. Wilson won't go? I know he was jumped in camp, and I understand all that, but certainly for leadership standpoint, him not being there has got to hurt a little bit, I would think, with the eligibility issue.
Well, Tom O'Brien said yesterday, that's an eligibility issue. But I'll tell you what, these guys are deep enough that I don't think they're going to miss C.J. Wilson one bit. And I mean that. I'm just not blowing smoke. I mean, this is a really, really good secondary. You got Brandon Bishop and Earl Wolf. I think this is their third or fourth year starting there. Dante Johnson was the nickel guy last year. He's now the boundary corner, and I think he's going to be the biggest difference maker, or biggest, if you want to call him, surprise, although he played really good last year. I think he could be he's a David Amerson type player, and of course Amerson is the All-American field corner. But there's depth behind these guys, and I really don't, you know, if you ask the coaches about what their biggest worry is going in this game, it's not that.
Sorry, So it's sort of like, in other words, it's sort of like Tennessee losing Derek Rogers. I mean, you don't want to lose a player that can play, but at the same time, when you have able replacements and you've got guys around them who can really play, if there's one unit on Tennessee's team where they could have afforded to lose somebody, it was at wide receiver, and probably the same could be said for NC State secondary. But let me ask you about this Wilson thing. I just think it's interesting. How could you have a guy who's a college graduate and have an eligibility issue? I mean, what is the NCAA trying to prove? I don't understand something like that.
Well, I can't even comment. I have no idea. So I'm not going to talk about something I know nothing about.
Tony Creasy, your thoughts on him as he breaks into the starting lineup?
Well, he had a good year last year learning, and he really has gotten bigger and stronger. You take a look at his upper body, he's a lot bigger, and he's a good kid. He's a tough runner, and I think NC State wants to, just like Tennessee, wants to be able to run the football a little bit better than it did last year, and Tony Creasy has separated himself just a little bit right now between James Washington and Mustafa Green. Green was the featured back 2 years ago. And so you got three quality guys right there, and I think it's probably going to take a few games to sort all that out. But right now, Creasy's got the edge, and with the kind of offensive line that NC State has, it's the deepest and the most experienced offensive line that Tom O'Brien's had since he's been here. You've got a chance to run the football a little bit better, I think, this year, and I think that'll be one of the things to watch for in this game on Friday. Will Tennessee, Vols just couldn't run it at all last year. Are they going to be able to run it better? Certainly, I would think that would have to be a goal in this game. And I think for NC State, they want to be able to run the football a little bit better, too.
Yeah, it's so interesting you'd bring that up because both these teams, obviously, have had trouble running the ball. And both these teams have upperclassmen offensive lines. So you would think that at some point, one of these teams is going to be able to run the football with the same personnel there.
Well, yeah, you would think so, but you still have to go out and do it, and you have to do it before about 80,000 people on Friday. So that again, that'll be one of the big things to watch for in this game. I like NC State's tight ends too. I mean, these guys are big; they can block, but they can also catch. And then Tennessee's got one of the best tight ends I think in the conference in Rivera. And that's another outlet for both of these quarterbacks, too. Rivera was a big target last year, and I think he would continue to be a big target. And you mentioned losing Derek Rogers and trying to compare that to C.J. Wilson. I mean, you're talking about, the leading receiver in the Southeastern Conference against a guy who had a couple of picks and has some experience in the secondary. So I think Tennessee's probably losing a little bit more there with Rogers out. But you're right, they do have other people that can step up and play, especially Justin Hunter. I saw a game against Cincinnati earlier last year where he played in that game, and I mean, he was almost unguardable. So, you know, he's a guy that State's really got to they got to know where he's lining up every time.
And, Gary, that was my point. The bottom line with a guy like Derek Rogers is somebody had to catch balls last year, and they went to him. And many of his catches happened against what I would call lesser competition. He had racked up tons and tons of yards. And sometimes in college football, numbers can be misleading. And I think in a case like that, all the preseason pub that a guy like that was getting, I just believe that's one of those times because Hunter, no doubt, is going to be Tennessee's number one option if he was healthy. And if you saw that Cincinnati game, you saw what I'm talking about. But let me ask you about Glennon real quick. When did the lights come on for him last year? When did you look at him and see, hey, this guy's comfortable? He really played well down the stretch.
Well, pretty much the first game. I mean, there was a lot of controversy. He had a lot of pressure on him last year due to the Russell Wilson situation. I'm not going to go back and rehash all of that.
Yeah.
But Glennon was the guy, and he had to come in and get it done. And if he fell flat on his face, I mean, there were going to be a lot of unhappy people around the NC State nation, and he didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, he was poised from the first game. He really did a good job, and you could just tell that this kid was mature. He was ready. He played behind Wilson for some time. Knew the system. He had veteran wide receivers to throw to. He had a pretty good offensive line at that point protecting him. They were able to keep him upright, and he did the job. And I think he could have the kind of season where he could even though there's some great quarterbacks in the ACC, probably this group of quarterbacks in the league, I mean, there's a bunch of them, but I think he could have an all-ACC year. I mean, he's that good. He's big. He's got a rocket for an arm. He can make all the throws. I think he needs to cut down on his interceptions from last year, but I think that'll happen. I think he's a better quarterback now than he's ever been, and we'll see what he can do against the Southeastern Conference defense on Friday.
You surprised that Wilson was able, and I'm going to ask you about him quickly, because I had a fancy draft the other night and grabbed him, and he's very intriguing the way that he's played in preseason. Are you surprised that he's been
Not
able to go in there and he was named the starter? Tell me about him, what you saw from him.
Not a bit. People have been telling him he can't do this, he can't do that all his life. He's too small, he's too this, he's too that. Well, if you don't want him to be successful, just tell him he can't do something and he'll prove you wrong. I mean, he's a special kid, he's a special athlete, he's very smart, extremely intelligent, and knows what he wants and how to get there. And I'm not surprised at all. I'm actually surprised because you know how the pros are. They see somebody,
yep,
they'll just throw them in the trash can if they're 5'11". It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But with him, somebody's kind of smart out there in Seattle, and they got some background on him and figured out who he was and gave him a chance. I'm more surprised that he got the chance. I'm not surprised that he's the starter. I'm more surprised that he got the chance. But once he got the chance, it doesn't surprise me a bit.
Gary, that's one of the reasons why I love college football so much more than pro ball, is that college ball, you see all these various guys of shapes and sizes playing quarterbacks in various offenses. It's just such a different game. And you're right. In pro ball, they're so worried about how big you are. And then there's a guy like Drew Brees down there who might be 5'11 on his tippy toes. And I'd like to think that a guy like Brees has opened doors to guys like Wilson who might be a little height challenge but can really play that position.
Well, that was one of the things Tom O'Brien kept talking about with Russell Wilson, you know, when after he had left and all that, and they asked him about whether he thought he had a chance at the pros, and he said, well, he's the same size as Drew Brees, and he can do a lot of the same things, plus he's more mobile. So, you know, you're absolutely right. But when you're in the pros, it's a business. They're investing millions of dollars, and they want to make sure they get a return on that investment, and they don't want to take any chances. It isn't like, it's a hedge fund or something, and they're going to take a bunch of chances and find, like they do in finance. They're not going to do that. It doesn't mean that they haven't, thrown some draft picks down the toilet and picked the wrong guys and they bombed. But by the same token, at least they think if they're picking somebody who's the right size, has got the right body, that sort of thing, that they got a better shot at it. And that's just, you're right, that's the biggest difference between the pros and college football.
And Gary, on the way out, nobody's talked about this as we visited today with Gary Hahn, who's play-by-play voice of NC State. And boy, Gary, what a great voice you have. I'd love to hear you do a game. But that said, because you're tremendous on the radio, and no offense to play-by-play guys, but some guys aren't. You have a lot of passion and a lot of energy, and I can hear that in your voice. Let me ask you about NC State special teams. That is one area of the game from a Tennessee standpoint that really scares me. Tennessee special teams, Gary, at times, and if you saw that punt return they gave up to Arkansas to Joe Adams last year, at times their special teams look like what I call electric football that we used to play when we were kids. You know, you turn that board on and it goes, wah, and the guys are gravitating, they're over there grabbing the walls, wah. That's what our kick coverage teams look like at times here. How is NC State in special teams?
Well, it's too bad you didn't see State last year when the T.J. Graham was around. He's in the pros now, but he was had 4.44 speed and could take it to the house any time. And I think he's the all-time leader now in the ACC in kickoff return yardage. But he's gone. And so that's one of the big pieces to the puzzle for NC State. Number one, can the pack stay healthy? Number two, who's going to step up at linebacker? Number three, who's going to step up at wide receiver? There are some talented guys there, but they've never had to be the man. And number four, who's gonna be the next T.J. Graham? And right now, it looks like it's gonna be by committee. Although State's very sound in special teams, but I'm not sure that Tobias Palmer looks like the guy right now. One of the wide receivers, he's 5'11", 175, and he can really scoot. But it looks like he's gonna be there on kickoffs. And Rashard Smith, the guy who's played both corner and wide receiver, he's back at wide receiver, is probably gonna be the punt returner. But there are some guys behind that are pushing them, and it'll be interesting to see whether they stick with these guys, and if these guys develop into somebody like a T.J. Graham, or whether somebody comes from behind and pushes these guys out. So I don't know. But the kicking game with Nicholas Sadie as the place kicker and Will Bauman as the punter and Scott Thompson as the long snapper, they were all true freshmen last year. So, and they performed well. They didn't screw up. They were good. They were solid. And so they should be better this year as well.
Hey, Gary, I want to really thank you for joining us today. I hope you have a great broadcast. I'm sure you will down in the Dome. It's going to be a great time. Two teams on the way back, two fan bases that I think are very good. You guys are coming off a great sports season with what Coach Godfrey did over there last year, and I know you're excited about this fall. Love to be able to wish you luck Friday night, Gary, but I can't do that. But thank you for joining us.
Well, I understand. I'll tell you one thing I know. It's going to be loud in that Georgia Dome because there's going to be a lot of state fans down there and a whole bunch of Tennessee fans down there. And the sound, since it's a dome, it all stays in the dome. So what people shout there stays there.
And you know what, Gary? I'm not a dome guy, but I think that's a great atmosphere there. And I think Gary Stokum and his guys know how to throw an event. I think they do a wonderful job, but I'm not a dome guy, but if I was going to choose a dome to play in, I really like that place, Gary. Your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think that, well, I haven't been down there in a while, but, you know, I've heard a lot of good things about it,
yeah.
And Gary Stokum is a former NC State grad, and
right?
I think was played basketball for NC State, and not a starter, but a reserve back in the 80s. And the Chick-fil-A Bowl is one of the premier bowls, I think, out there. And so I'm real excited about getting down there and kicking it off on Friday.
Gary, have a great day, man. Good talking to you.
All right. Thanks for having me on. You guys have a great day, too, and we'll see you in Atlanta.
All right, buddy. Gary Hahn, one more time, play-by-play voice of NC State.